This episode of Film Sack is brought to you by The Morning Stream at frogpants.com/TMS. Additional support comes from Brett Siegel, Andreas Ekberg, Redshift Development, and Zach Gowan. This episode is for you.
The spirit world. You see, it's always the same. There's no stopping what can't be stopped. No killing what can't be killed.
Hey, make sense, man.
This thing that's killing your people and mine is from the other side. I can feel him all around. You can't see the eyes of the demon until him come calling.
I got good levels. Good levels. Yes. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 66. I'm Scott Johnson. This is the show that mines the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. Joining me tonight, Brian Jamaican Voodoo Posse Dunaway.
Hey, we are in a jungle. We must be picking up where we left off in the first movie. Nope. After this crane shot, we're looking at a city. Oh, wait, I get it. It's an urban jungle.
Yeah.
Urban jungle.
Jungle.
Yeah.
Jungle.
It's the urban jungle.
Yeah. It's the urban jungle.
Yeah.
So, click. What else is on? Click. Lethal Weapon. Mm. Click. Getting too old for this shit. Click. Click.
Wow. You truly have done a... you're at the Poetry Slam now doing your thing. Also with us, Randy King Willie Jordan.
Nope, pick me.
Instead, we have, by the way, we shouldn't warn people right up front. Randy's having hideously bad internet problems today, but we are going to work through them regardless. We're making a show anyway, people. We're here for you.
That's right.
So if he cuts out, we improv. It's going to be a mini game, a meta game in the show. So instead of him joining us tonight, well, he will be in a second, Brian Fear of Heights Ibbitt.
You know, I have to imagine that during the development of this movie, somebody actually suggested a Predator and Danny Glover buddy cop film.
Exactly. I thought about it.
Where they go out and hunt drug lords.
Where they go
King
hunt.
Willy.
They hunt.
They kind of were on the same side.
Yeah. Kind of were.
Sort of. They hunt Gary Busey's.
Mm. That's right.
Which is great.
He's a tough cop from the streets.
Indeed.
He's an alien.
Now if he doesn't come.
Glowing green blood.
If he doesn't come back, what do I do here? I got to pause. This is a bad
I'm Randy
place
Jordan,
for it. And rounding it out today, we have Mr. Randy King Willie Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. Boy, I'm really excited about this week's movie. You know, it's a sequel, and they got Chris Hansen back, and all the perps are just flooding into the house. Very, very excited.
Chris Hansen, dude. He would do well here in this particular film.
We are talking about To Catch a Predator too, right?
Oh yeah, of course.
That's right.
Predator
yeah.
also.
Okay.
Yeah, you've used the right tense there, or the right usage. It's
Predator. So what were you expecting
also.
To happen here?
Well,
I was going to get me some.
I thought I was just kind of come in here and see people's heat signatures and.
wait. Are we talking about Predator 2 this week?
Yeah, Predator 2.
Oh no,
the
you
one with
the wrong thing.
Cosby as the renegade cop.
Yeah.
I'm on it. No problem.
Yeah,
go ahead.
With the Jello pudding poppers running through the house and the old
and
lady
the
with
the
stick.
I know
why
that movie.
Are you chasing after me with an extendable rod?
I know that movie very
you
very
got
well.
Great damage.
Yeah, he ends up in whiteface at the end. Go with it. I know this one.
All right, you're good with this one. All right.
Yes.
Sounds like you got it nailed. All right, well, you may have already just heard us say it. It's Predator 2 we're talking about. Predator 2, a fine film from the very early 90s. In fact, 1990. We're going to let Scott Fletcher explain, and then we're going to talk about this fine film. Scott, take it away.
Predator 2 10 years after a band of mercenaries first battled a vicious alien, the invisible creature from another world has returned to Earth. And this time, it's drawn to the gang-ruled and ravaged city of Los Angeles. When it starts murdering drug dealers, Detective Lieutenant Mike Harrigan, played by Sergeant Murtaugh, played by Danny Glover, and his police force set out to capture the creature, ignoring warnings from a mysterious government agent to stay away. All right, this is the last blurb, and then I got to go back and do some quotes.
Okay, thank you, Scott Fletcher. I don't know why he left that in, but I had to keep it.
I love it. It's awesome. Great.
So I like that he gave Murtaugh credit for playing the main role. That's pretty funny.
So in the future, is Colombia and Jamaica much closer to the West Coast? Is that the reason why there's Colombia? I don't know anything about the gangs in Los Angeles.
I did a little reading, Brian, since you asked.
Yeah,
I looked it up, and it turns out in the 80s, early 80s, mid 80s, although this was set in 1997, as the date it was set in, so another future movie. But in the 80s, apparently the Jamaican gangs were a real problem.
I did not know.
Running a lot of cocaine, killing a lot of folks. It was a big problem in L.A.
Creating aliens.
Yeah, but I don't think that they were the stereotype dreadlocky, ganja-smoking, you know, reggae dudes that they made him out to be in this movie.
They made him out to really look like they were and the Wailers. It was like Bob Marley's dead. What do we do with the Wailers? We'll keep their costumes and give them guns. That was the Jamaicans in this movie.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt. It was very theatrical. But you know how I feel about that. We've seen the Jackie Chan movie. Just reminded me of it, and I'll say it again here. I'm a fan of theatrical, ridiculous gangs.
Yeah,
that are themed. You know, they have like a theme, or it's never divided on. You know, the real things that gangs get divided on, like poverty lines and very strict racial lines. These guys are based on, you know, costumes and accents and.
I like my favorite gang was the Misfit Gang, the one with everybody else. You know, the white guy, the black guy, you know, and they had the most ridiculous gang outfits. I don't know.
Yeah, I love that.
That was played in the
80s. We saw that gang also in Howard the Duck, didn't we?
We did.
Same gang.
There was a trend there during the all the way from the Warriors when that movie came out all the way up until probably recently, where you just see those crazy gangs who don't have any fashion sense. They just kind of look like they went to the the Salvation Army and picked up some brightly colored clothes. And
would you say it's in the grand tradition of like West Side Story, the Sharks and the Jets kind of thing? I mean, they were supposed to be racial, but... You
know. But that would be nice. That would be racial. But no, I'm talking about after the Warriors. Remember that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Late 70s?
Yeah, Warriors was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everybody had a theme. Very well.
Great as in we should talk about baseball, it on the show.
Baseball team theme for these guys. Yeah. Right.
I love that. More of that, please.
Yes, can we have our gangs a little bit more, themed, please?
Rolled up sleeve. Giant trench coats, rolled up sleeves.
Yeah,
that is the hot look for the gangs today. Really like that. Anyway, so it's Predator 2. Stephen Hopkins is directing this fine piece of film.
No, I thought you said Stephen Hawking.
Stephen Hawking? Yeah.
Yeah. I kept waiting for, you know, some kind of time travel stuff, but didn't work.
Move over to the left. Show me that you mean it. Show me that you love him. What did else?
What is your motivation?
What is your motivation? I'm not feeling it, Kat. that's terrible, but he is known for some other films. He directed The Ghost in the Darkness. Remember that? The Val Kilmer and the...
The Joseph Conrad book made. Yeah.
Yep, yep.
Film, okay.
A bunch of episodes of Californication. He also directed, I lost it here, a whole bunch of 24 episodes.
Yeah, it looks like he did that first really good season of 24, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So this guy makes good TV.
Yeah. Does all right with the TV. Lost in Space. Remember that? The remake in 98 did that. So
I actually like that one. Yeah.
He did Nightmare on Elm Street, The Dream Child, which was poo, if you recall.
That was bad.
But he's had, you know, he's done his stuff. He's paid his dues, whatever. Seems like a nice guy. Born in 58. Looking good. He's holding a, looks like a Grammy here. In his photo on IMDb.
which can't be.
That's an Emmy, isn't it?
Or I'm sorry, Emmy. It's a TV. It's not a Grammy. Yep.
Grammy's a little gramophone.
Yeah, he's holding an
that's
Emmy.
It's obviously an Emmaphone.
Emmaphone.
Wow, and he dated Heather Graham.
Whoa.
Oh,
yeah.
She's
she was born in 1958 in Jamaica.
No, no way.
No way. Heather Graham was born like 20 years later.
Yeah, wow. And Jamaica, so, boy, maybe that explains all the Jamaica stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, right out of the gate, talking about the director, I really don't want to see this film strung up on directing. I thought it was finely directed. It was as good as you're going to get for the horrible script, the really sad casting. You know,
I think it's why I thought back in 1990 this was a really good movie. Because it feels good still. It feels like it's directed well. It's snappy. It's clean.
Quality.
Yeah, there's a lot of really, you know, great cuts and just good editing and all that stuff is there. It doesn't really age. It doesn't seem to age that way. But anytime anybody started saying stuff, I'd have trouble with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At least this time around.
I'm going to come down really, really hard on Bill Paxton. Like, I'm going to call this the worst character performance we've seen on FilmSack.
And it's the worst of his career, in my opinion.
Really?
I'm trying to think what else. Commando?
I mean, 'cause that was pretty bad.
Yeah, but Commando was just this brief little stupid thing, and he was fine. He was fine for what that was. But this was kind of, I mean, he basically was Hudson at the end there.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? It's funny because if he wasn't, there's kind of a catch-22 for me for this character. If he had not been so over-the-top crazy, there's no character development whatsoever in this movie, so I had no relationship with any character. So when they died, I didn't care. Spoiler alert. Yeah. When Bill Paxton dies, I actually was a little bit sad because I'm like, oh, he was such a great personality.
Hold on just a second, though. There's no character development whatsoever in the original Predator.
Well, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying there is none.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's so good about the movie, though, is what's on the script. It's, you know, what's his name? Oh my God.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Jesse the Body. Oh. Jesse the Body saying, "This will make you a sexual Tyrannosaurus." Like, and that's what the writers were trying to recapture with this film. Yeah. They just sucked at it.
Yeah. What they're missing? They're missing a Apollo Creed with one arm waving his gun in the air. That's what they're missing in this movie. There's a lot of other things missing, but we'll get into that. Kevin Peter Hall plays the Predator, so give him some credit for.
He gets top billing on IMDb. Yeah, totally which is does. Awesome.
I think that's great. Danny Glover. Yep, Danny Glover, of course. Gary Busey makes a triumphant return to a FilmSack movie. Not since Drop Zone have we had him in here.
Mm-hmm.
And this was his first film after his accident on the motorcycle that almost killed him. So, whatever that means.
Dude, Gary Busey was good.
I liked him in it.
I'm sorry to say it. Yeah. He's good in this movie.
I like him in everything. I've got no problem with some Busey in my films. I think he is great. So bring him on.
You're just saying he makes a fine actor and a horrific reality TV star.
Yes. Or that is to say the only reason I care about that Apprentice show this year.
The Apprentice. Yeah.
It's the only reason I want to see it. Reuben Blades, an old favorite. I love that guy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Died too early. Man, everyone died really. Our second showing of Maria Conchita Alonso.
Yes.
Not since Running Man as she looked so bad in a bad haircut.
Playing basically the same character, just a cop version.
Yeah. A pregnant cop version. Was this the movie where that lore was explored that predators won't kill you because you're pregnant?
Well, they're hunters, and that's pretty typical of most hunters, even in,
Yeah, but is this the first that they showed? That's the first that I know of it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we aren't going to find out that in the first Predator, one of the dudes was pregnant.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
There was he's got a prostate cancer. Better not kill him.
Yeah, it's a
draw. Yeah, that's right.
Apollo Creed had a fetus in his arm. Let's cut that off.
I guess there was one girl in the first Predator. She could have been with child.
And I think the newer movies had some reference to it. And also there was reference a lot in the comic books, which were really good, by the way. And
Predator also makes a great pregnancy test.
Yeah,
on a stick. You just walk in front of him while he's shooting, and if he stops shooting, you're pregnant.
All right, so he's like, it's either hold it in your urine stream or run into a predator. That's great. The ultimate pregnancy test. I love that. I was just gonna say. Oh, I know what I was gonna say. I more than ever watching this and having recently seen the second Predator versus Aliens thing, which is trash. And I hated the first one. The Paul Walker Anderson guys thing, terrible. But more now than ever, I want a Batman versus Predator movie. And I know that sounds dumb to everybody, and I know it sounds dumb. And they had that little like that homemade video that guy did that was really well done. That was kind of like a just a look at what that might be like. And it was he had Batman and he had Predators, and and aliens and all that kind of stuff in it. I just think that would be so much fun and would totally fit the tone of both worlds. I think Batman would kick A. I think the Predators would kick A. Just set loose one or two of those things in Gotham, dude, and I am in.
You know, the most recent one last summer, the Survivor Predator Island, that movie?
Yeah.
How many movies into Predator feature films is that? Is that like Predator 6?
I don't know. Is there? Are you talking about a real thing? Is there an
last summer, there was a movie called Predator.
Oh, right.
Predators.
Which was just like, it was like Survivor, Predator Island, all these Earthlings get sent to Predator land to get hunted.
It's on my list of things I haven't seen yet, so it's weird that I haven't seen it, because I was, you know, it appeals to me, except for Big Nose in there. He doesn't belong in there. What's his name? That guy with the huge nose. Piano guy. What's his name? The pianist.
Adrian Brody.
Adrian Brody. Who you, Ibbot, just saw in Splice, right? He was in that?
Yes.
I can smell
Predators is the fifth in the franchise, by the way.
Is that why they hired him? He can smell a predator like 5 miles away?
He could probably smell if you're pregnant or not.
Also, Adrian Brody can put Predator to sleep by playing the piano. That's nice.
Of course. He's the pianist. I haven't seen that new one. I've heard very differing things. I've heard some people say it's great. It's a great return to the original's tone. And I've heard other people say it's terrible. Just go watch the Schwarzenegger one. I think we can probably all safely say that the original is the best, and everything they've tried since is just kind of crap. When the minute you start having it talk, I start to have trouble with it.
Yes. Especially when it just parrots back the things you say.
Yeah, parents. It's just the bad words.
Like, whenever you learn a new language, isn't the first thing you always learn is the bad language?
But they're my favorite parrots, you know, when you find out a parrot lives with some dirty old man, because the parrot is like, F you, mother effer.
That's right.
I could kind of do without the clicking and clacking every single time we switch to Predator Vision.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When we're in Predator Vision, he doesn't need to be gurgling nonstop. Yeah, I kind of agree.
This was a terrible, the sound effects were horrible. Yeah. I mean, even when Danny Glover was walking in the, when he was walking in puddles, I mean, it was, I don't know what sound, I was spending a lot of the movie trying to figure out what exactly they used to try to make these sound effects.
Yeah.
It's very really weird.
Very dubby, very weird.
Yeah.
I don't like much of it. Here's some interesting trivia, at least I think so. Reuben Blades was going on a live TV interview for Good Morning America in 1975 from the set of this movie. How can that be? Because they weren't filming this in 75. That's a wrong date. Anyway.
Yeah, they were filming this in 89.
Yeah, I don't know what they're talking about here. It says 75. Way to go, IMDb. Anyway, during the interview, director Stephen Hopkins walked on camera and ordered Blades back to work very loudly over the camera.
Wow.
Says the incident was so embarrassing, Blades and Hopkins did another interview days later to apologize to Good Morning America. So apparently
it was
this
all
Blades
a misunderstanding.
Guy's rough. Yeah, of course. I'm not always a dick, just sometimes.
Right. Thanks, Christian Bale.
First movie to be given newly instituted NC-17 rating by the U.S. for its graphic violence before it was recut
and
for final.
Well deserved.
Well, it's that you saw the R version, dude. The
N-17
got cut, so who knows
what
was
saying.
In there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I saw the same exact thing you did, so it would have been fun.
Usually you do, though.
I actually looked, but I had to watch Netflix streaming.
I wonder if they even have. Do they have a director's cut? They probably do somewhere.
I haven't found it.
They have the director's cut of the first Predator, but I don't think of this one. Mm. Well, at least not for our purposes.
Now, there was nobody in this movie from the first movie, so it was kind of a weird... It's one of those sequels you hate because, you know, you're starting over. The only common character is the alien.
Yeah. Basically, it's a retelling in the city.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Basically.
It's like what they did with Jurassic Park, where it's
right.
All right, let's. So we've done the island. All right, how about now? How about now? They come to the city. Okay, great. For the next one, they'll have a baby.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? This follows the Jurassic Park method of filmmaking closer than most movies, because not only do you have that thing where different main character and protagonist than the first movie, and the rest of those people are just gone somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you might get a cameo from the kids or whatever, but it's also the same in that when you go from jungle setting, this kind of raw, exciting first movie, and take it to the city.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, what the hell am I doing? I may as well play that
trope,
because that's a trope I hate.
Yes, yeah. Crocodile Dundee.
Yes,
same kind of thing.
That's even worse, though.
Yeah, that's pretty.
That was the worst sequel ever made. Well, yes. The first one was great. And isn't that guy, he's officially shunned by everyone in his home country. Don't they all hate him?
Yeah, they don't like him because he left his wife, his long-term wife, for the co-star of Crocodile Dundee. It was a very public and very bitter and nasty scandal.
I was unaware.
Yeah.
You know a lot about your Dundee history.
Yeah, well, my wife's big. She's an Australiaphile.
Oh, nice. At one point, Schwarzenegger was going to co-star in the film, but chose to do Terminator 2 Judgment Day instead. Good choice.
Good move.
Yeah.
Very good move.
Yeah, I can't complain there. At one point, Patrick Swayze was approached to star in the film, but wasn't able to because he injured himself during the filming of Roadhouse. Benson, what?
Dancing?
Oh, I thought you said of Benson.
Dancing.
Dancing?
Yeah, you know, him and Rene Auberginois. Got hurt. So yeah, we're glad both those guys probably didn't do it. The first film Gary Busey made after his fatal motorcycle accident, or near fatal, sorry.
Killed his sanity.
Right.
Oh man. And then this is interesting, and you were talking about this earlier, and I think it's true. Bill Paxton has been killed or assaulted in the exact same way in Predator 2, Aliens, and Terminator 2, but I don't remember him being in Terminator 2. So is that wrong?
It was the first Terminator. He was one of the gang members that comes across the Terminator at the beginning and says, "Oh, you're must be washing night or something, isn't he? Isn't that
because he was naked?"
Yes,
because Arnie was naked, not Bill Paxton. He only does that on Big Love. All right, I got it.
I think that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, but basically that death in the train, which I thought the train stuff that was kind of awesome. Thought that was really cool in this.
Yeah.
You know,
except for the strobe light.
Well, yeah.
The bad gang members.
You don't. Yeah, but we like them, remember?
Oh, we do? Okay, I'm sorry.
We like those crazy gang members holding up people.
Speaking of the gang members, can I have a trope alert? Worst trope in the film, in my opinion.
All right, hold on. Go.
The cops are in a huge urban standoff with gangsters who have guns and other weapons delight. And there's nothing the cops can do. They can't get in. They can't get down the street until, of course, one badass pudgy dude, just, you know, who looks like Bill Cosby, decides to take a
photo. Hey, don't be talking. He wasn't pudgy at all.
Come back to the standoff. Why don't these cops have tear gas or flash grenades?
Or why don't they call in the military, as would be in real life?
What this and like, of course, this movie has Morton Downey Jr. Morton Downey Jr. He's like day two of the, and I'm whole. Hold it right there. Yeah. It shouldn't even be hour two.
Right.
You
right,
get some
exactly.
tear gas in there, you know, some tasers, and it's over.
Yeah, I agree.
Throw some tasers.
It's been going on so long, they are stumped. Wow, I just don't know how we're going to get these gang members down. They've got guns. We have to stand down here at the end of the street.
I know what the difference is. They're holed up in these buildings, and they've got handfuls of Coke to rub all over their faces every five minutes.
I love that.
And so that's just fueling them. The cops don't have the energy, man.
Don't you know that by the late 80s, the Los Angeles County SWAT team was bigger than most countries' standing armies, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's future 1997. Our guns are all silver and have cool scopes on them. So
yes, they do.
Don't forget.
Everybody has laser sights, including Maria Conchita.
Yeah, I wanted to mention to you, Randy, they had regular bullets. I thought you'd appreciate that.
Well, it was only 8 years in the future, so I'm all right with it.
Yeah. All right. What else? Let's talk about
another trope alert.
Oh, give me one.
Yes. When somebody falls or jumps off a building, they never land on the street. They always land on a car or in this
table
case, a
full
picnic
of
table.
Food. Yeah. That was awesome. And that's where you got one of your only one liners where she said, where'd whatever his name go? And he goes, he's out having lunch. Or something stupid. Yeah. But that brings up a point I want to say about Danny Glover. So we're joking back and forth. The Bill Cosby looking guy. It's, you know, the Murtaugh character is basically the same guy, a little younger, whatever. Mm-hmm. Or actually about the same age, I guess. It was about the same time they were making those movies. My problem with him is he has never really struck me as an action type dude because of the way he moves. He moves in a very... slow motion kind of lumber.
It's because he's like 7 foot tall and like, you know, he's massive. He's like a giant.
Yeah, he's huge. Yeah. So when he moves, it's just kind of this, you got to get momentum and the legs are just kind of lumbering really slow. And I can't take that seriously when you're supposed to be Mr. Spry jumping around the meat locker, taking on an alien like that.
especially an alien who has Krull's blade.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, dude.
I noticed that. That's the first time we've seen one of those splitting blades since Krull. That was pretty awesome.
Was that not in the Odyssey? I don't remember what weapons he used so much in the first movie, which I'm way behind in watching again. But did he have? I know he had the spear thing. I know he had Predator? Other stuff. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was, it was kind of limited. Rockets. Yeah. But on his shoulder.
Yeah.
A little, that's where the little
kind of Iron Man style. Yeah, the little laser thing. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I like that. But that was in the first movie, right?
Yeah, they didn't. But they never showed the spinning disc thing in the first one, I'm pretty sure. I don't remember
that
at all.
If you were Danny Glover and you finally get your hand on Krull's blade in order to save yourself from a nuclear destruction by cutting a dude's arm off, wouldn't you hold on to that weapon? That's an awesome weapon. Why would you just drop it? I'm just going to throw this to some guy on the street. Here you go.
No, didn't he took it with him all the way into the spaceship.
That's how he killed
the
Predator in the end.
Well, yeah. But afterwards, didn't he just kind of chuck it to the side?
Yeah.
He dropped it when everybody showed up.
Yeah. Exactly. He was surrounded and he's like, all right, well, then I don't need this anymore.
Oh, with other Predators. Right, right.
Yeah.
I think were there some girl Predators in that group? Because I thought there looked like some chicky ones.
I couldn't tell.
What
were you looking? What were you looking at specifically?
Yeah, I know.
Well, just the slimmer build and the maybe boob rack.
Those
all
predator
I could see
boobs. They're very. They look like Klingons. You know.
Yeah. All I could see was how poorly they had the fog come up to their legs, and it was very poorly done.
Those special effects were pretty bad. In fact, there was a lot of talk about this movie was one of the last major big budget Hollywood films that didn't turn to some CGI for effects because this just really had none.
Which I liked. I liked for the most part until they got to that where they were kind of walking in out of the smoke. I'm like, why don't you just put some smoke in there and have some predators walk in? I mean, why green screen that at all?
That's because they wanted them to fade in, right? Like they wanted them to kind of decloak in there.
Yeah.
Decloak, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the most use of the CG in this movie was for the predator's cloak effect.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really bad. I was really disappointed with
it. It wasn't as good as the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they were fine when they would appear occasionally on buildings or whatever, but when they appeared in that mist, it was just like, all right, what is this, Dragonheart or some? Well, that's even too advanced, but you know what I mean? Like, it just looked like some old shitball 80s piece of crap.
Yeah, and if I ever get an Invisi suit, I am for sure going to keep it out of water, and I'm not going to run into electrical stuff because they used every possible way to expose the Invisi suit that they could think of.
Yeah.
Constantly making him pop into he must be the worst predator ever. No wonder he got beat by Danny Glover.
There was a lot of sort of, oh, my thing's malfunctioning, and looking at his arm going, I'm not invisible anymore. Let me go back to the beep, beep, beep. I'm still not invisible. Might be this rain I'm in or whatever he was doing.
Or maybe I'll hit this neon sign and show up in the, it was horrible method.
Didn't love that.
Didn't like it.
All right. So that weird lumber, we talked about that. You guys brought that out of me early. What else? Oh, I know. The chaos. Oh, this is a trope. We got to do this. So at the police station where we first see Bill Paxton and other people, it's always in a movie when you walk through the police station in some, it's not always a future police station, but a police station where it's just chaos. There's 10 hookers being carted away. Mm-hmm. There's some giant guy who breaks free and headbutts one of the cops. It happens every time. And the worst part is the people working there act like it's just the regular day. It's like, whatever. Yep. You know,
they don't pay any attention at all. Exactly. It's like they're totally ignoring it.
That drives me nuts.
Was this not the angriest movie ever?
It was pretty angry.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
a good point.
Everything was angry to me. That's what I felt like when I got to the cop scene. I was like, that's when I think I first realized this movie is so angry. There is not a single person because until that point, we've been kind of like in a street fight. But then once we got to like a more reserved location, I thought surely they're going to tone down the anger. No, I was still angry.
Y'all like the Robert Davey?
Robert Davey?
Yeah, the pock-faced dude that's always a bad guy in most movies. He played the chief of police or whatever. Love that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
Parker!
I think he said, he said this. Check it out right here.
Now get back to your cage at Alvarado.
I don't know what he said, but.
get back to your cage.
Alvarado?
I guess that's the station where he's got a desk.
Oh, right. I got it. That's the police. That's like the precinct.
That whole angry thing ultimately becomes the worst, not the worst trope in the film, but the trope that made me think the most about it being a trope.
Mm.
And that is, give me the sound.
Mm. Oh, what? Wait.
You basically have two factions of cops. You have lawful good cop, which is exemplified bar hero, right? And then you have like chaotic neutral cops, right? Mm-hmm. And they're finally they're in a stakeout van, and the cops you don't like are all kind of hunting Predator, but Predator is actually hunting them. And Danny Glover realizes that he's somehow the only guy who knows that they're in a trap. And so instead of just letting the bad good guys get themselves killed, he pulls a gun on other good guys to try to save the good guys that aren't that good. And it's like, this
gotcha.
it just made me sad, you know?
Yeah.
Like you're going to get justified. Everything you think is going to get justified if you just sit back and let this happen. But instead you're going to pull a gun on other cops.
Yeah.
No, I hate that.
So what about the Morton Downey Jr.? By the way, not looking so good these days, but, you know, he's an old guy, whatever.
When does he ever look good? When has that ever happened?
He's got some freaky pics up on IMDb, but...
He's not looking good at all. He's dead.
he's still with us, isn't he? He's still alive.
He's dead.
He is not. Did Morton Downey Jr. die?
Dead.
Oh.
He's been dead forever.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, dead for 10 years.
Oh, my gosh.
He's not kind of dead.
You see what I'm talking about with the photo, though, right?
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? Like the one where he's making a big face. There's only two of them there, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, so he died at 67. No one saw that coming,
right? He was the picture of health.
Yeah. He was a crazy dude. Smoked a ton. Weird guy. He stopped acting in 99. That was about when he died, maybe?
Yeah. You know what's weird?
2001.
Yeah.
2001.
Right now, there's someone like, listen, to this podcast who is in college and has no idea who Morton Downey Jr. is.
Oh, I know. I barely know.
Yeah, I don't think I saw more than, you know, one or two of his talk shows.
Yeah, he was one of those. He's like a Jerry Springer style dude. That's what he was famous for. He had a show where he was really in people's faces. Kim made him come out and do a lot of confrontation. It was totally Jerry Springer. I don't know if he predated Jerry Springer, but whatever.
He is what gave us Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, kind of,
Morton Downey Jr. Could have held it together, Rush Limbaugh wouldn't have taken his spot at that radio station in Sacramento.
Oh, so he was on the radio too. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. In Morton Downey Jr.'s defense, he was born in 1933, so he would be pretty dang old.
Well,
even if he was still alive.
Yeah, he died at 67. That's not too shabby. It's all right.
Yeah, that's all right. But especially living like he was living.
That second photo, dude. Oh.
Look at those pictures. I know it. Those are great pictures.
Good Lord. all right. So there's Martin Downey Jr. Jane as a bodyguard. That was fun to see. This is way before Jane was, known for anything else. But and when I say Jane, I mean Adam Firefly. Baldwin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Should probably make that clear from Firefly. And that was weird to see him so young. I think before that, the only thing I'd ever seen him in was like My Bodyguard. That 80s.
I loved that movie.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember. I think that was filmed in Denver, by the way, Brian.
Oh, really? Denver Connection.
let's see. Bring back the hats. Oh, yeah. I noticed everybody had cool detective hats again. Big fan. Yeah,
especially Blades, man. Ruben Blades can rock a hat.
Oh, dude, can he?
Well, this was the future. Past.
Right, right. We were saying that about Danny Glover. Half the film, he looked like Panama Black.
There's a little Miami Vice to him, a little bit. Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, I like that. I have something to say about that later in what I learned segment. But interesting choice of clothes in 109 degree weather.
Yeah.
Yes.
What shows sweat really well? Let me wear some silk yellow. That'll work.
How hot does LA get generally? Like, what is the average super high? Like,
it's not 109.
No.
Well, the whole story was that there was a heat wave going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 10 months out of the year, it's fine in LA, but they set the film during a heat wave.
I mean, those guys are pitting. They were pitting out, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I tried to figure out what the story device was, the reason why they had to have that in the story, but being a heat wave. I never could quite figure it out. Mm. Maybe the Predator has to exist in warm weather because in Predator 1 they were in tropical. Right? Yeah.
Well, no, they did explain it, didn't they? They said, oh yeah, they're in Morocco and they're in this place and that place, and they were explaining how the Predator likes to, because they can only see heat signatures. This is how they find their prey the best or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Except they have, we'll blow that out of the water by giving them like six different visions.
Dang it!
Yeah, that's true. And his heat vision sucks too. His heat vision, anybody who's ever looked through some good military hardware will tell you Predator's heat vision is wrong.
Yeah.
It's not physically right. That this idea that he can see the difference between something that's freestanding and not generating heat, and the air around it is just total bullshit.
It was pretty pretty low res for everything. Low fidelity on sound and audio. And also something interesting I noticed in the film, and then they also brought this up in the trivia and sort of confirmed it. But in the first movie, when it would hear people talk and you were in its perspective, their voices gained pitch. Mm-hmm. In this one, everyone got lower. So you'll notice it. If you watch them back to back or see clips, you'll just hear them go, it's like, we're all talking up here like this in Predator 1. And in Predator 2, they went lower. Now, I would probably say go lower because it sounds cooler.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear Arnold talking faster or higher.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like the second choice. But, you know, interesting that they changed it. They chose to, you know, I don't know, mess with that. Make
most badass change about Predator, this one has more teeth. I like that.
Oh, yeah. It did. It had more weird hairs and things, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like little spiny hairs in its face.
You know, the Predator from the first film, it always made you wonder how he would eat with just these four fangs, and they're kind of small.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is this also when we learn that they just like beef?
Yeah, they only like hamburger. So, yeah, they like to kill for sport, apparently.
Yeah, they kill for sport, but then eat our beef.
We prefer the
That's
beef.
What he's doing in California. He's looking for In-N-Out Burger.
That's what everyone's looking for.
Smart man.
Mm.
Or alien.
Had that yesterday. Sounds good right now.
Mm-hmm.
Love the Jamaican stereotypes. I mentioned that. Cool water effect on the Predator when he was walking. That little scene where he's walking in the puddle.
Oh, yeah. And the puddle splashes up where his feet. Yeah.
Yeah. Knowing that was, there's no CGI involved there that they had. Mm-hmm. And they explain it somewhere. I read how that worked, but it's an awesome natural effect. Not a natural effects. An awesome special effect. What's the word? Mm-hmm. That's the right word.
Yeah. A non-CGI effect. Yeah.
There's
you got it.
Practical effect.
Thank you.
That's the word I meant.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
What else? Oh yeah. Where they lost me a little bit on just sort of plausibility. You only hear him yelling in the bathroom because he stabbed himself with a needle, but you don't hear him crash half of your apartment in.
Yes, exactly.
Come on.
Yeah. And, right. And pull out his portable meth kit. I mean, he was making a lot of noise.
Right.
The little blue meth cooker thing. That was great.
Yeah. Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah, see, that
what is he doing? He doesn't have time to make meth now.
I love it that the Predator stops to make an omelet, and it turns out it's just spackle.
Right. Yeah.
He carries a little spackling blade.
Yeah, they call it. It's just blue stump spackle. They make it there on his planet, but he had to make his own. No,
you know, it's hard to hear it's hard to hear the wall coming down when you're listening to Jeopardy so loud.
Yeah, really.
True. They were both asleep, but they had Jeopardy playing in another room.
And it was the longest final Jeopardy ever.
Yeah.
Like, that song kept playing for a minute.
She also gets the only one probably genuine laugh of the movie. I mean, I'm sure there's some other parts that were kind of funny, but when he runs down the hall and says, "I'm a cop, it's okay, where did he go?" She says, "I don't think he gives a shit."
There's your trope.
Exactly. I like it when they make old lady swear, dude.
Yes, that is a trope.
We'll give mini Pearl there a little mini trope. Where is it? Ding dong diddly.
Ding dong diddly.
She get a little
mini Pearl.
I don't know. It was an old lady with. I guess she's nothing like Mini Pearl now that I think about it. All right. Anything else you guys want to say before we do some clippage? Any other thoughts of the film?
In the future, the cops will obey orders via radio transmission.
Whoa.
I don't know. I thought that was a really weird line. Did you guys remember that?
I caught that too. Yeah.
We're not going in because we received orders through radio transmission. I'm like, okay.
Right. We need a term for that. When somebody says it's Starfleet calling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's Starfleet. Pick up.
Yeah. That is in every movie now. Somebody notices this. They, you know, this non-detailed order.
Yeah.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Exactly.
Oh, I think
I'm in agreement with Randy. 100%.
He's hanging.
You didn't lose Randy.
Oh, good. You're there.
He's right there.
Oh, Cox Internet. We love you so much.
How you but toy with us.
I cannot wait to get off Cox.
Yeah. You need to get off that Cox.
Yes.
All right, well, let's do some clips, and let's start with the stupid news guy talking at the top. We're talking about, of course, Morton Downey Jr., no relation to, what's his name, Downey Jr.? Robert. Yeah, no connection at all, other than they were both druggy heads for a while. Anyway.
Both named Downey and both juniors with famous fathers.
I remember there was some confusion, and I remember somebody distinctly way back in the day saying, well, you won't know the young one for Mary much longer because he's going to kill himself. And I remember thinking, oh, that's a terrible thing to say. And as it turns out, it went the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Anyway, here he is talking at the beginning. Oh, I should mention, it's on Hardcore is a show.
Hardcore. Yeah.
Which I love.
Yeah. Like Hard Copy and I don't know what else. What were those?
Hard Copy.
What were those other ones called? Inside Edition. Yeah. Oh, man.
I miss Hard Copy.
Is that stuff gone? There's no shows like that anymore, right? Where they're just dumb fake news. Are there?
Yeah. No, there's tons of them. Like,
they're just not as cool.
No, they're not as cool. And they're all about celebrities doing stupid crap. But
yeah.
So it's like the entertainment online, or not entertainment online. What's entertainment? What was it called? There was a show for the longest time.
Still has a show.
Entertainment Tonight.
Online. No, Entertainment Tonight. It's like that.
Yep.
But
a TMZ show. Yeah, there's tons of them.
All right. Mm-hmm. I just avoid that stuff now. But back in the day, man, you'd catch all that. You'd watch Bill O'Reilly do it live every night. All right, here it is. Sorry, I will continue here.
Tony Pope, live with Hardcore. On the scene and in your face. It's like Dante's hell down here. Slow fire, oppressive heat, as Colombian and Jamaican drug fiends once again transform the streets of L.A. into a slaughterhouse. Who the hell's in charge down here? The cops? They're outmanned, outgunned, and incompetent. Mr. Mayor, on vacation in your home in Lake Tahoe, get off your butt, get down here, and declare martial law!
Yeah, chaos, dude.
The cops are outnumbered and outgunned in L.A.? How big is this war?
I'm telling you, it's smearing
it's
cocaine.
Colombia.
It's and Jamaica. Yeah, it's Colombia. It's the Colombians and the Jamaicans finally joining forces.
What is with the future in Jamaicans? I mean, they always are causing trouble. They're going to rise up. Yeah. Are you kidding me? They're sitting around smoking the weed all day. They don't care about
fighting.
They're
so chill. Yeah,
they're not necessarily bad in the, like or badass in future films, but they are always smoking weed. You know, like they're only role in The Fifth Element is to clean parasites off the spaceship, right?
Yep. Yeah,
but they're smoking weed while they do it.
Yep. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Jamaicans are definitely in the future, is what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah, they definitely survive into the future.
They're doing fine in this movie. All right, let's move on to some angry acting with the chief out on the street right after all the ruckus.
This is quite a surprise. What brings you down from the palace?
You let me down, Mike. You're making me look bad. Thought we had an understanding. I put my ass on the line to get you here, and all I expect is a little cooperation. Now, you were told that this was a federal matter, yet you disobeyed a direct order to stay out of the building.
Don't let this get out, Phil, but it's a fucking war down
here.
Oh,
shite!
You're a soldier, and you take orders. I'm not pushing. I'm pushing as far as I can every day, Phil, because we're fighting for our lives down here.
Everything seemed to build everything seemed to crescendo to a like chaotic point in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, are you gonna put a rooster on that?
I had a plan to, but I forgot before the show.
it's faded out in the background enough.
I have others in this very show that are already bleeped, but I somehow missed that one. I don't know how I did it. That kind of shocked me. I was like, "Whoa, you're not supposed to." That's supposed to be. It's like, what are you doing there, Bill Cosby? Come on. All right. Cool Latin rap. I wanted to just play this one because Ibbot needs to help me find whatever album this is on so I can get a ton of it.
All right. Sure.
Because I really like the sound of this. Here it is. Can you get me a big wad of that?
That's basically... DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Yeah, but in Spanish.
No, it's not. Spanish.
Is it Rico Suave? Really?
Yeah, it's Spanish version of his one hit. What's his hit?
Yeah,
Suave.
Hold on, there's a real Rico Suave.
Yeah,
I always thought that was just a fake name we gave to people who had like slick back hair. Oh, you're a real Rico Suave there.
No, that was his song. It was Rico Suave.
No, I don't remember that at all.
You don't remember that?
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So give me some of this. Come on. I want some of that. It's like the in-between stuff on the shield.
The guy's name wasn't Rico Suave, though. The guy's name was Gerardo.
Oh.
Oh, Gerardo,
the singer. That's him. That's
Gerardo.
Oh, Gerardo.
That is the rapper Gerardo
The guy that tried to find Capone's gold in his vault and couldn't get it.
Oh, we're so disappointed.
There's another reference that half the younger listeners will not get about Geraldo. Anyway. I want some of that. So
it, okay,
get on it, dude. You're the music guy. You know where to find this stuff.
I don't think I've got any Gerardo. I'm sorry, Gerardo in my collection.
It's great.
Maybe.
Really great.
I'll send you something similar to that, Scott.
Do you have some? Seriously.
That's awesome. I'll send you something newer than that.
I would love that. Okay. Hard Captain and Awful Comment is what I titled this one. I will let it just live as it is. Here it is.
Hey, Cap.
Don't start with me, Mike.
Oh, I just...
Heinemann's already been up my ass so far. I won't be able to sit down for a week.
We're not winning this war. As much as it's going to piss you off, you're going to have to play the game on this one. Effective immediately. Federal task force under the direction of Special Agent Peter Keyes will be investigating criminal activities involving the trafficking and distribution of controlled substances. And you will extend him your full cooperation.
Which means you're cutting off my dick and shoving it up my ass.
Oh!
How many penis jokes were there in a span of 15 minutes?
A ton of
that?
Of them, dude.
Yeah, if you go before and after that, it's incredible.
Ugh.
You know, the challenge was to Brian Ibbett, but I've got it. The song is called En Mi Barrio by Gerardo. Mm. That's it.
Yep. Wow.
Oh, I am so...
And
I
you've got that in your library?
I do not.
Oh, okay.
I've located the track title.
I want some of that.
Barrio.
All right. Busey says something. We should hear from him now, right?
Do it.
Let's talk to Busey. It's not nearly as gross as that last clip. Check it out.
Special Agent Peter Keyes, DEA.
Heard a lot about you. I'm sorry for this jurisdictional intrusion. Don't mean to be stepping on your toes. But we're attempting to prevent King Willie's voodoo gangs from taking over and controlling the entire West Coast. I wish I could tell you more. But we have a large number of deep cover operatives involved here. You know how it is. We all have a job to do. Now, I'm sure we can respect each other's situation and act responsibly.
Well, cooperation. It's my middle name. I'll see you around.
And he holds up the nameplate. Yeah. It's not even his nameplate, and it's not like a scene or something that would make it humorous.
If he had held up a nameplate that had his name and his middle name was Cooperation, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, I would have laughed at that.
That would have been great.
But that
you can always tell.
Oh, man.
Great. You can always tell with actors, like, lines that they had particular problems with and they want to, like, take it again. Can I redo that line? Let me say this again. From the big pause between deep cover operatives. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. We have a large number of deep cover operatives.
It's okay, Gary. We know you just got in that accident. We know the motorcycle won, so go ahead. Take your time. Uh-huh. Try it again.
I love that scene audio-wise because both of them are so gravelly. Mm-hmm. Between, talk like this, and Gary Busey's there talking, then, you know, there's Popper Dan Glover, oh, yeah, cooperation, and, hey, we need some Clint Eastwood in here, too. You know, mm-hmm. It was very gravelly and whispery. It was awesome.
I don't know if you've heard Danny Glover lately. Man, he is seriously down that road. Like, you can't really understand much. Like, it's super gravelly.
Dabble.
It's like Batman, but old. What it reminds me of.
Is he a cop like me? Does he look like Popeye? Does he look like Popeye?
Oh, man. All right. I kind of like the guy. I'm a big Silverado fan, and I like him in that a lot.
Yeah.
I think he's great in Silverado. Get that Winchester, whatever gun that he's so good with.
Underrated movie.
I agree. And it's a damned Western. And that's good enough for me, of course. Let's see. Who's King Willie is the question.
King Willie.
Who the hell is King Willie?
King Willie, voodoo priest of the L.A. Posses. Ran the terror gangs for Edward Siega in Jamaica until he got too powerful. The Jamaican chiefs won't make a move without his approval.
So what the f*** happened?
See? So what I like about that is that the voodoo gangs and that whole idea is so theatrical. It's so silly. It's more superhero-ish than it ever should be. Like, I can't possibly take it seriously because these Jamaican guys are doing rituals, but then again, they've got, you know, they're hyped up on coke. They're trying to control the drug trade. They're just like this ridiculous gang that I find completely
non-threatening. The Colombians are actually on coke.
Oh, right. Yeah, the Colombians are.
Yeah, they're all up, they're uptight.
But even them, they're just so, like, long hair and the tight leather pants and the just, it's not a gang.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was very smart from a standpoint of when I was writing this, I would go, you know, the Predators are already wearing these long dread looking things. Do I really want to introduce more confusion by bringing in a gang of Jamaicans? I didn't understand the thought process behind that.
Weird. But.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it was on
Maybe
purpose.
Predator Maybe. Is kind of drawn to them as his own kindred.
Exactly. Oh. Well, they were rolling the bones, and that might have been what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys, did you notice, you guys saw at the end the alien skull, right? You saw that head?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Right in Predator's trophy room, mm-hmm. right there.
That was By cool. the way, the aliens have an exoskeleton, so they wouldn't technically have a real skeleton on the inside, so I don't understand that whole bone marrow thing. That was
Oh, you're right.
That
Brian.
Took me out of the film.
But all the nerds back in the day, I remember back in 1990, we all saw that and went, they're doing a versus movie. They're doing a versus movie. Because by that time we'd had comics, right? They were really good. These aliens versus Predator things. And so that was like, oh, they're going to finally do it. And they never did. Well, they did. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say they never did. They waited like another decade to do it, decade and a half. And then it was shite. So too bad, too sad. But you're right. That is not right to have a skeleton in there. No, I'm
Take
bugged.
It back.
They don't have. Oh, we got to look that up. Do they not have skeletons? That's going to really bug me.
They may have some type of whale skin.
In Predator 2, they have an awesome skull.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
According to the lore of Predator 2, I just don't know if I can trust it. But I did like to, like, I want to see some of those other aliens that the skulls belong to, because there's some other cool crap in there.
Oh, yeah. That big, I don't know what it looked like, but it was just a huge, giant elephant looking thing that was just looked. Awesome.
The idea of the Predator is so much cooler than the actual movies. Like, it's such a great idea.
I would like to believe that one of those trophies was E.T.
Oh.
No, that would have been even better.
That would have been great. Yeah. Too easy of a kill.
That would have been funny. Yeah.
Oh, you're dead.
Hello. We see pieces.
He's like a Jewish comedian. All right. Here's a great line I thought about big noses and people's business.
They say the persistence is one of your most outstanding qualities.
Hey, look, I know this is your show, but I
now
just...
You're not listening to me. You got a big nose, and you're sticking it too far in my business.
Ew.
Hey, leave the size of my nose out of this. Is that a racial thing? Come on, no, Gary.
Man. Totally right.
Busey. Freaking Busey. I love Busey, though.
You've got a big misshapen head. Busey. Your eyes don't match. Keep it out of my business.
Brian Dunaway, I love Gary Busey. I'm happy to watch him in any movie he wants to be in.
I can't like Busey. I'm sorry. Those teeth, I can't do it.
I love it. He's got the most unique look in Hollywood.
Your endocrine system right out of your body.
I hear Jake Busey, his son, is going down the weird channel too. Like, he's getting all crazy.
That whole family's on drugs. Got to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know that for a fact, but I'm just thinking.
Libel suit. Guess we'll find out. Morton Downey Jr. gets carried off. Oh yeah, this is great. This is some after the fact recording, some total dub work, and you can tell. But this is him getting carted away by Busey and his thugs because he's trying to film what's going on up there in that building after the big massacre. And here's him reacting.
Hey, wait a minute! I got my rights. I'm a journalist. Aragon! Aragon!
Shut up. Let's go.
Smells like a cover up. The press has a right to know.
Take him out of the building.
You scumbag.
Yeah, so
wow,
there you
love
go.
That.
It's terrible.
There's so much angry acting in this movie that I can't even really give that a lot of thought.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty mild in comparison, yeah.
Yeah.
To most of it,
I liked when he's listing off the casualties in the drug war. We've got 5 assorted drug trash and 1 good cop.
Yeah.
Where do you pick up assorted drug trash?
I don't know.
Your local, on the beaches of Florida. Yeah,
exactly.
All right, let's meet King Willie. Now, I like this clip because King Willie, the mystic father, you know, lord over the Jamaican drug trade, is still rolling.
Just apparently got back from Domino's, had some chicken wings.
He's still rolling bones, you know, doing the whole voodoo thing. And I just like that he barely understands that he's in charge of anything, but he's just kind of like the witch doctor, right? Yeah. And I like him because the actor who portrays him, and I don't have his name right here, but anyway, this guy who plays Big Willie was in Cleopatra, of all things. So he has been around.
Big Willie.
What'd you say?
Not Big Willie. You said Big Willie.
Did I say Big Willie? King Willie.
Big Willie, King Willie.
That was back when I worked in porn stars.
Hey, there's a movie to combine. Free King Willie. That would be a good movie right there.
Freaking Willie.
Yeah, Freaking Willie. Freaking. So this guy's been around for a while. Did that old Elizabeth Taylor movie back in like 63. So he knows his stuff. He didn't really look Jamaican, nor did he sound Jamaican. I'll let you be the judge. Check it out.
The spirit world, man. You see, it's always the same. There's no stopping what can't be stopped. No killing what can't be killed.
Hey, make sense, man.
This thing that's killing your people and mine is from the other side. I can feel him all around. You can't see the eyes of the demon until him come calling.
That last bit sounded kind of Jamaican.
Yeah, but it I like to call that a steel pulse reggae accent. You know, he's not exactly a Jamaican. He's more British Jamaican.
Yeah, 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 for sure. I liked it though. Mm. I liked it. Again, it's the theatricness of it. It's like crazy voodoo man predicting the future, talking about demons, and the bones are always the same, and he's gonna come a calling.
But he totally didn't see him coming, though. I'm like.
Yeah, he didn't have his really bones were not good. Yeah, he wasn't very good. Yeah. But that was a great decapitation. I give him that.
Yes, it was.
I like he. All right. Pope sounds like dude in Christmas Story. Okay, I captured this because there's a scene in the movie where he comes off sounding just like an angry, pissed off version of the narrator from Christmas Story.
And this is Morton Downey Jr.
Yes. And it's so just listen, you'll hear what I'm hearing. It's not what he's saying, it's how he's saying it, but it's funnier when you realize what he is saying, because if you ever heard that coming out of Christmas Story, you would be freaked out, but it's great. Check it out.
This is Tony Pope, live from L.A., city of fear. The psycho vigilante killer continues his daily diet for murder. Bodies strung out, bodies with the skins ripped off, the hearts torn from the cadavers. And just recently, King Willie, the drug lord, the vicious drug lord, found in an alley just around the corner with his head cut off and his spinal column torn from the body, a fitting demise to the Prince of Powder.
It's as if you, seriously, it's like he's on drugs.
That was a really good call. I didn't care.
I didn't either. That was, that was great.
It really weirded me out.
I totally hear it.
Because it was part of it was the sound, the timbre of it, like the radio
kind
of
announcer.
Yeah, sound. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it had that kind of same sound to it. And it was almost like he was saying, it was so and so, the neighborhood thing with the whatever. It's just like the old man Ralphie, but talking about people ripping skulls out. That's awesome.
Yeah. Man, were there a lot of reporters in this film or what?
It was tons of, every time.
We can turn around as a reporter.
Yeah.
Right. Joe would blow here with such and such station, and then the lady would be there, and then another guy. That was
I was
great.
Reminded
and they all
of
had the
Anchorman.
Worst crappy, the crappiest graphics, too, for each of their stations.
Yeah, there was one point where they showed like KNLA, and I thought, oh, that's a good call sign, KNLA, right? And then they went to this like Latin reporter, and on the screen it said KNLB. Oh, come on. You couldn't even think of that's embarrassing.
I'm out of them. I don't know how many more callers we have.
They just keep tacking letters at the end.
Right.
It's a good idea. All right. Lions, tigers, and bears, says Gary Busey.
He's on safari. Lions, the tigers, the bears. Oh, my.
Oh, Lord.
The bears. See, if you say lions, tigers, and bears, I'd be with it. But he's like, the lions, the tigers, the bears. I'm like, those are all football
he's
teams.
In Detroit. Yeah.
It sounds like they're talking about playoff chances or something.
The Bengals.
That's great.
Stop it.
Oh, man. All right. So speaking of talking, we don't like it when the predator talks. We think that's stupid when they enunciate. So I captured the ultimate moment in the film that everyone remembers. I bleeped the, naughty bits, unlike earlier, where he calls him an ugly mother something. Check it out.
You are one ugly mother.
Scott Fletcher a little bit in there.
Complete repeat of the first movie.
Yeah. Did that happen in the first one? I don't remember.
Did he talk in the first movie?
Oh,
No. I'm saying that line. That's what Schwarzenegger says to the predator.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. They repeated a few of those things, right?
Yes.
Like, didn't Arnold call him the P-word face and then... So did he call them the P-word?
I spent this whole
I don't
film.
Know what Arnold even said the first film. I couldn't understand anything he said. So
I spent this whole film waiting for Danny Glover to say, I ain't got time to bleed.
Nice. All right. Well, there you go. That's the clips. And that means it is no other time than now to do some awards. These are the Film Sack Awards for the film Predator 2. And here they are. Best half-off death award goes to Busey. So he got chopped Busey. Right in half. I saw that right, mm-hmm. right? Like he got cut in half.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They didn't show
where... Well, we don't know. They didn't actually show that he was behind the meat, but yeah.
They didn't show where his upper body went. Like the legs fell down.
Right.
With like the waist with a big hole in it. But the upper body's like jammed up with the beef or something.
Yeah.
Didn't figure that out.
Stuck behind a side of cow.
It's a pretty good death. The Hey, the 80s called and wants its hairdo back award goes to the chick. Let's see. The award for saying move out of the way the most, Danny Glover. Yep. Who wins that?
Move.
Move. Move out of the way. Best ridiculous stereotype award goes to the King Willy gang, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Obi-Wan award, I would give it to the nice captain guy that was kind of on his side. The just his local precinct guy, not the
head honcho. Maybe Predator himself was Obi-Wan. We just don't understand his motives.
Yeah, good point. He did raise his stick and go, ur. At one point. Let's see. The who should be taking on the Predator award goes to Batman. That's what should be happening there.
Yeah.
Lamest.
And he could whisper it too.
Yes.
I'm Batman.
Totally talk like this. Move out of my way. Lamest death award. Who would you guys give that to? I left that open. Who had the lamest dumbest death? Yeah, award. Like the dumbest or.
There were some really cool deaths, but.
the gang leader who falls off the side of the building shooting his guns. You know, straight into the air.
That was pretty good.
It was lame, but he wasn't shooting at Danny Glover. He was shooting at Predator, and Danny Glover returned fire.
That's
like,
right.
Oh, that's so sad. You know, like what a stupid way to go. And then he lands on like an ice cream truck or something.
I forgot. We should have warned people. There is a naked lady in this movie.
Oh, yes, there is.
For like 20 minutes.
The boobies.
Yeah, big time boobies. She was all
full
over
frontal.
The place. Full frontal.
Boobies.
Yeah, she
get
showed
a rug action.
She go ahead and tack that on there. Sure, why not? Yeah, she shows up at that part where before they do the ritual death of the one dude.
Yeah.
And that was pretty gnarly. That whole scene was just like, oof.
Yeah.
I'm tired of movies where
off the boat.
Yeah,
I'm tired of movies where I'm showing people having vigorous sex and they get barged in on.
Mm. Oh, you ever even that was angry. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
That's a trope. I give that a trope for sure.
Yeah.
The tropey, stupid Indiana Jones and Snake Fear is Messing Me Up award goes to Fear of Heights.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Because he wasn't really afraid of him. He just complained about him.
The whole
still
time.
In a bad way.
Yeah.
Right. He's climbing ladders the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would One Day Be Way Better Than This Stuff award goes to Adam Baldwin. And the Remind Me Not
and Bill
to
Paxton.
Yeah, and Bill Paxton. Yeah. That's a good point. I should probably loop
pretty much everybody.
Yeah, a lot of people. The Remind Me Not to Buy Beef from Anyone in L.A. award goes to the Final Fight area there.
In the Slaughterhouse District.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was all irradiated.
Do we all have a Slaughterhouse District?
Yeah, we have one here. I think no, I don't think we have one here. I already did that one. But what else? Oh, a soundtrack grade. I'd give it like a strong B. I thought it was pretty appropriate and good and symphonic.
Total rehash of the first film soundtrack.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, there was so much Rico Suave in the first one. And no, but yeah, I agree. It was pretty much the same except for that.
Oh, man, I want more of that music. I'm telling you, man. Twitter. Okay. That's from last week. All right. Let's do our Twitter post. This is where you guys in 140 characters or less get to sum up what you thought of the film. Let's start this week with Mr. Brian Ibbett, please.
Predator 2. Before there was Aliens versus Predator, there was Lethal Weapon versus Predator.
Nice. Mr. Brian Dunaway.
Predator 2 spend 2 hours quality time with Danny Glover trying to hide his humongous, sweaty body behind stuff to keep from getting shot by aliens, Colombians, and Jamaicans. all the while yelling really funny profane stuff. It's Pleasure 2. I kind of like it, and I don't know why.
Don't do drugs.
That's way more than 144 characters.
Don't do handfuls of coke in your face. That's what he meant to say.
They don't know how to take drugs in Jamaica. Yeah, you don't smear it all over your face? What?
That's awesome. And then finally, Randy Jordan.
Predator 2. Just like Predator 1, only without any of the good parts. Which makes it like ordering a pizza, hold the everything.
This kind of sounds kind of good right now. Not the hold everything.
No, it doesn't.
I had pizza last night. I had Chicago style pizza last night.
Oh, that
you said you had In-N-Out Burger.
No, we had In-N-Out Burger for lunch.
Oh, wow. Jeez. What a day.
Wow, Scott. I'm going to say Scott is eating well.
And I had leftover sushi this morning. That was kind of gross.
Leftover sushi.
It was sick. You don't want to do that. Get it while it's fresh. Nope. Anyway. Yeah. Long and the short of it.
This is Paul's fish sticks.
Those are the worst things ever made.
Speaking of horrible frozen foods, I want the audience to find a good corn dog that I can have at home, pull out of the freezer, and bake in the oven and eat.
There's got to be some. Yeah.
The Foster Farms corn dogs are the worst thing I've ever tasted in my life.
I wonder if there's – somebody out there has got some good ideas.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So let's
I need a good corn.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's have.
We're
going to
get a rash of. Why don't you just make them? You know, you can make that batter and then just dip it in a little deep fryer. So
bitter,
hold those emails, people.
Yeah, keep them to yourself.
That's angry podcasting right there.
That's right. Yeah. That's what that is. All right. Well, here's what we learned: why you nearly ruined a perfectly good series of films. When I arrive on the scene of a drug war, I hope I remember to wear the brightest colors possible. Where's Mel Gibson?
Good question.
In 1997, cops wear hip sunglasses, cool hats, and their guns are fancy.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you got your Hudson in my Predator movie.
Totally see that.
In future 1997, Gary Busey wears a tinfoil tracksuit.
Yep.
Which protects him from the nuclear space dust.
Yep. Against popular belief, Reuben Blades has raspberry jam in his veins instead of blood.
Yeah.
Or his veins.
Some really red stuff.
It was just goopy. Like, what is wrong with your blood, dude?
I don't know. But he's really good at visual measurements because he's like, that guy's going to be 40 feet up there. That dude has weighs about 180 pounds. And he's Jewish.
Yeah.
And he can find a fondue fork jammed in a air vent.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot smaller once he got up there, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that thing is huge. Nope. It's just a little stupid little fork. It's like a spork. Let's see. Predator can take a lightning strike and keep moving. That was great. Mm-hmm. Hey, kids, you don't have to make gun noises when your gun already makes gun noises. You stupid kid.
Was that right after that kid got killed by the cops in that alley when he was playing with that toy gun? You remember that?
Oh,
remember that news story? Because I was wondering if that was related. Because
no, that was later. I think that happened mid 90s, wasn't it? Like 95, 97, something like that.
I thought it was social commentary. I wasn't sure.
Could have been. I think it was more kid, don't try to give candy to a invisible stranger. That was your lesson there. Stupid. That was dumb. Anyway, that's what you learned while you walked away. We got an email from a listener, Joseph Cottrell. And this is good that he emailed because we got to clear this up. He says, I distinctly remember cheering out loud a few weeks ago when you mentioned an upcoming episode devoted to Flash Gordon. What the hell happened in large caps?
We're working on it.
Joseph, it's coming up.
Flash Gordon is still approaching.
Yeah, we were going to do a commentary track, like a bonus sack, but we changed our minds because the person who donated the Blu-ray versions of this movie to each of us requested we do a regular episode around it. So we are just getting through the stuff we had already scheduled before we get to it. So it's coming soon.
It's coming.
Yes.
Yeah, we got to be very. We have to time things just right because Netflix can yank some of these movies at any moment without any notice. So
yeah.
And there's also the fact that my 14-month-old has grown accustomed to carrying around the Flash Gordon case. And if he ever figures out how to open it up, I'm not going to get to move.
We got a bonus email this week from Molly Gifford, who wanted to remind us that Xanadu with Olivia Fig Newton and Michael Beck, and of course Gene Kelly, would be so awesome for our show. He says between roller skating through brick walls to go talk to Zeus, or just the fact that it is Xanadu. This is the perfect movie for us.
My wife loves that movie, and she made me watch it about 5 years ago.
It's the worst.
It is horrible.
Probably the most requested film in the thread in the forums, which you should all go check out. It's the FilmSack Requesters, FilmSack Requests. Something like that. It's a huge thread in the FilmSack forum.
You know what I'm talking about.
You can't miss it.
The FilmSack suggestions thread. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, you can't miss it. It's right there.
Xanadu is the most requested film there.
Yeah, which really? I think we may have to comply. It's just not on streaming yet, so that means we've got to get it some other way, and I feel dirty doing that, not because we might have to get it in a lascivious way, but because you shouldn't have to go through that much effort to get Xanadu.
We should probably can rent it for like a dollar.
Does your wife own it, Ibbit?
No. No, and she even admitted when we watched it, you know, watched it again because she loved it as a kid. And we watched it again. She's like, wow, this really did not age well.
Mm. Like, just like Dances with Wolves.
Yeah.
Aww.
You know what? One more bonus one. We got one from Randy Duncan who says, as per your episode of Film Sack 65, the one about Johnny Kalonic, he says, you expressed interest in seeing a movie starring two actors, rapper Ice-T and rapper Ice Cube. And you didn't seem to know which one that movie or what the movie may have been that had both of them in it. It is called Trespass, circa 1992. It also stars Bill Paxton, William Sadler, and Tony Tiny Lister, to name a few.
Is it on Netflix?
Tommy Tiny, not Tony.
Zeus.
Yeah.
If it's just on Netflix, it's on, right? Let's see. What was it?
We'll have to check. It's called Trespass. And I'd be all for that. That'd be
fun. No, and by the way, we wanted Ice Cube, Ice-T, and Master. P. See, we need the trifecta.
So William Sadler.
I'll accept
it
this.
Is. Oh no, Trespassers is on, but not Trespass.
You guys don't know the man love I have for William Sadler. I love guy. Yeah. He died. He in Shawshank Redemption, he was the bully. Wow. No, I'm sorry. He was one of the friends. Sorry, he wasn't the bully. He was one of the nice guys. But everything he's in, I prefer with him in it because he's
I thought your big man love was for William Fichtner.
No, although I do like William Fichtner. Right. I have man love for a lot of people, dude. You
cannot even get Trespass on.
Yeah, not even Netflix available on DVD.
Was it that bad? Six
DVD
out of 10.
DVD availability date unknown, aka never.
And look, it's Cube and T are on the same cover. They're separated by two white guys just to keep them from killing each other. Look at that.
How is it possible that we've been doing FilmSack for a year and a half now and we've not seen Chris Tucker?
Dude, Chris Tucker. Well, another big request we get is a lot of Fifth Element requests.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the problem with Fifth Element is that not that we don't think it'd be good FilmSack material, but that most of us really like that movie. Like, it's a movie that we really like. Now, that being said, there have been films in the past that we've all really liked, too, that we've done. So I don't know why that one seems wrong. But having seen a chunk of it the other day with my kids, it's not holding up that well for me.
Good.
I'm sad about it. I say as well because it's just not what I don't know. Something's wrong. There's something
we
weird.
The bulk of his movie work is a little too new for this show, but we haven't seen any Chris Rock, and that really surprises me because he's made a bunch of sackable films.
Yeah, that's true.
We've seen Grown Ups. This came on Netflix.
We got to dig into more of the recent Netflix stuff. So we'll see what happens there. Speaking of Netflix, we don't have a movie that is on Netflix anymore as of next week. We're watching and doing our episode about Universal Soldier, and sadly, it is no longer streaming. However, we're still going to do it. We've already got the Fletcher crap. We're committed. We're gonna make this
crap.
We're gonna make this happen. We're gonna make this happen with or without streaming. So if you have a way to get your hands on Universal Soldier, then do, because that is going to be our next movie.
The good news is in their last update several weeks ago, Netflix made it so that the days left streaming is a queryable field from that database.
Yes.
So
yes.
All these websites now we can go look and see. Mm-hmm. Before we commit too much.
I wish Netflix would just put it next to the film. It's not going to hurt anything to let us know. Yeah. In fact, it'd be great.
Watch
it'd
it
be
now.
Like, I better watch it now instead of later. Come on. Yep. Come on.
Well,
come on, Netflix.
The good news is in the future of FilmSack, we will probably never again say that a film expired on us because we'll know.
Yeah, we'll know ahead of time. Now that we know that, it's easy to do. But anyway, that movie's coming up. So Universal Soldier, Jean-Claude Van Damme, a favorite of the show.
Oh, yes.
What's his name? Jesus from last
Dolph
week.
Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
He's back. So, again, returning to some favorites. And I'll bet there's some other actors in there that I'm not even thinking of that we've had before.
Jerry Orbach.
Yeah. Oh, I love Jerry Orbach.
Tico Wells.
Jerry Orbach was the candle in the thing.
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast, yeah. He was the be our guest. He was doing the French thing.
Beehive.
And he was on the Law and Order for a while till he died. Well, yeah.
We need a film with Ossie Davis in it.
We did. The Elvis one. The JFK. Right.
I know.
Oh, another one.
I'm saying we need a new Ossie Davis.
I agree. Love that guy. All right. So there you have it, folks. Thank you for the emails. We'll read those each and every week. Sometimes one, sometimes more. Today was fun because we got a little couple of bonus ones. Scott Fletcher did a couple of quotes from this show or from this movie that we should, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't play. This one's about candy.
Want some candy?
He's basically that kid talking to us.
Yep.
That was creepy.
I know. It is
that
creepy.
Goes with my catch a predator too joke.
Scott Fletcher out in public telling kids this.
Want some candy?
Oh, man. Sorry, Scott. Let's see. And then this one, something about understanding.
You let me down, Mike. You're making me look bad. I thought we had an understanding.
Jeez, it's not so bad when you hear it like that.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Not quite so rough.
By the way, this is the perfect time for us. I know that it has to be, you know, it has to be focused on the morning stream, but the perfect time for us to give Scott Fletcher mad props for his short film. Oh my God.
Absolutely. God, for the film, for the morning stream. Yes.
It's so sad that it's not in contention, and he never intended it to be, but it is a creative juggernaut. It's awesome what he did with his, his Canon. He's got this Canon SLR used. The filming is great. The quality is great. The pacing is great. The story is great. His kids are great.
And he storyboarded the whole thing out too. I mean, he did it like a regular movie.
Yeah.
Scott, can I get a promise from you for the listeners that you will get a link to that later this week into all those, you know, like your blog and the Frog Pants, you know, blog and so.
Oh, no promises. We're putting them all up, and they'll actually see that and available. It'll be available to them before this episode airs. So you'll actually see it the week you're hearing us talk right now. You have already had 3 or 4 days of being able to see that video, and I hope you enjoy it as much as we did because it's amazing. It's really good. And the other entries, by the way, everybody will be up. So I'm looking forward to all of that. That's TMS, Monday through Thursday, 7 a.m. Pacific. All right. Sorry. I've got to change that key. Here, there, now it's changed. I don't want that going off every time I hit
that. That's the ca key when you hit the ca key.
Now it's the M key, so if I hit M... There. That's where you should be. Jerk. All right, what else?
Who the hell is King Willy?
Who the hell indeed? We'll see you guys next week for another episode. Again, it is Universal Soldier. For me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next week.
Bye now. Want some candy?
What kind of spaceship has bay windows?
Just enough to make us go, ooh, and then go.
Rocky.
The Matrix.
The Matrix.
Oh, retrograde. No.
Retrograde. Retrograde.
Pre-Jack.
Bauhaus.
Black
Flags. Red Sonja. Zardoz. Starship Troopers. Batman and Batman Forever. Batman Forever.
Spermula.
Highlander 2. Matrix.
Pre-Jack, too.
Yeah, Pre-Jack. Inception.
Social Networks.
King's Speech.
Hard Target. Benny Hill. Fallout.
Most Extreme Elimination Challenge. Takeshi's Castle. Absolutely. Star Wars.
Episode 3. Fifth Element. Blade. Lawnmower Man. Quick and the Dead. Jurassic Park.
Free Jack.
Hudson Hawk.
Necromancer?
Neuromancer.
Neuromancer.
Necromancer.
Face Off. Aliens, BSG, the redone TV show, Star Trek,
BSG, one of the
Star Trek, Expendables, or Machetes,
Universal Soldier,
Flash Gordon,
Universal Soldier,
Dune,
Time Cop, Rumble in the Bronx, and
Quake 1, and
Dirty Harry's,
Friday,
World of Warcraft,
New Piranha Movie,
Piranha 3D,
Sliders, Goonies,
Nemesis,
Insurrection,
Piranha 3D,
Piranha 3D.
Social Network.
Rocky 4. Goonies. Monster Squad.
Monster Squad.
Monster Squad.
Goonies.
Goonies.
Goonies all the way. Yep. Die Hard.
Monster Squad.
I'm not Die Hard. Superman, Goonies, the Lethal Weapons.
Monster Squad, RoboCop 3.
Monster Squad, the Monster Squad.
Monster Squad, Goonies.
Monster Squad, 127 hours.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.